Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the show today. I'm here with Matt Going, who's the CEO and co-founder of Anytime Mailbox. Matt started Anytime Mailbox with one clear vision, that everyone should be able to view and manage their postal mail on their mobile phone, and he's going to share more of that story with us in a moment. He is with us today from LA, where he lives with his wife, two daughters, dog, and a cat. And I have to mention that Matt and Anytime Mailbox are GWA members, and he and his business partner will be exhibiting at the GWA conference in September. So if you like what you hear and want to learn more, please come and meet them and learn more about their platform. So any links that we have today will be in the show notes. This is episode number 57. So everythingcoworking.com/57 will link to Anytime Mailbox and any other good resources that we mentioned during the show today. So Matt, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for inviting me, Jamie. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so Matt and I were chatting the other day a little bit about kind of the digital mailbox world and thought it would be good to get him on the show to kind of talk about that marketplace and what it looks like and kind of what's changing and who the players are and all that good stuff. So Matt, start though by telling us a little bit about your background and how you started Anytime Mailbox.
Sure. So we launched the company, or we're just going into our fourth year. And prior to that, my business partner, Marcel Buki, and I were working in the digital marketing space. And I ran sales and operations for a good-sized company out of LA. And we had a handful of virtual offices or virtual addresses throughout the US in major cities, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, et cetera. And we wouldn't receive a lot of mail there. And by the way, we had them at co-work locations. We wouldn't get a lot of mail, but when we would, it was important to see what we received quickly. And we had a standing order in at each of those locations to physically forward our mail once a week. And so that was a little frustrating because oftentimes we wouldn't receive mail that was important for more than a week or for longer than a week. And so then we get into this thing of, well, why don't we call ahead and see if there's any mail there? And a receptionist would pick up and they'd, you know, be a little irritated because they have to go and check the mail. And, yeah. Et cetera. And we didn't, you know, we want to know it was there.
That guy, I can totally picture that.
Yeah, right. So we said, well, it'd be easy to just get a snapshot of what mail is there. Just tell me what it is or send it to me digitally. And so we made that request and a couple locations offered that service to us. And then we thought, man, we're like getting this on email. There's no way to track it. It doesn't seem very secure. So long story short, we started doing research as to if there were digital mailbox services out there already. There were a couple companies offering it where they had their own physical locations and they were trying to build their business around that. And Marcel and I thought, you know, there's already an existing infrastructure in place of what we call mail center operators, whether that's service business centers, PO box store operators, et cetera. And so we said, let's build a private label platform and offer that to these locations so they can offer an enhanced service to their customer base. And let's try to grow the business. So that's how we got going.
So the difference between a digital mailbox and a virtual mail membership is, you tell me. I mean, my perception is that the virtual mail might be completely analog. Like it's like your description of what you were dealing with your first company, that somebody is sorting through stuff, sending it via email, putting it in a file cabinet. You know, it's all sort of very analog. But the digital piece means it goes into a platform that you can access easily on your own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I think certainly in your industry, because this service, we're operating multiple industries, and we're going to talk about channels, I think, yeah. I hope in a little bit. But in your industry, there's the virtual office or virtual address service, but I typically don't see a virtual mail service listed. So that means, it just like my experience was, the mail goes there and it gets forwarded physically.
Yep.
Maybe I can come by and pick it up. And in some instances,
if you're local, yeah.
If I'm local, and in some instances, operators will actually scan the mail to their client. But so when we launched the business, we called it a virtual mailbox. That's just how we started it. And what happened as the industry or our space started to grow, more folks started calling it digital mailbox. So we said, okay, we're going to go with digital mailbox. It's like a lot of things. They don't have a name hasn't been set and established within the industry for a couple of years. So now it's typically called a digital mailbox service.
Got it. Yeah. So let's back up and talk about the overall market for digital mailboxes, because I think it helps, right? So my lens is co-working serviced office, but I think it's helpful to understand the broader market for digital mailboxes and sort of what that's looking like and where the demand comes from to help people understand maybe why they should think about it for their co-working space or serviced office.
Yeah. So there's the existing customer base in different industries. So in the serviced office co-work space, there's, I would say, I guess at least several million customers using that client, using that service, whether they're physically located there or they're virtual. Mm-hmm. If you look at the P.O. box space, which I'd call a UPS store, for example, there's, again, a few million folks using P.O. boxes today to manage their mail. But the opportunity is the new businesses. So over 6 million new businesses are created each year in the U.S., and those are typically SMBs. So we think there's a huge opportunity there because people don't want their home address as their physical, where they're receiving their business mail. And then you start to – I didn't realize, frankly, how big the opportunity was. Then you start to slip into markets like – colleges and universities, jails. There's an opportunity. There's a lot of physical.
I hadn't thought of that one.
I hadn't either until someone reached out to me and said, "Hey, can we offer this service?" So mail flattened out. There was about a 30% drop in the amount of physical mail handled in the U.S. between 2000 and 2007 or 8. And since then, it's been flat. It's not decreasing. Mm-hmm. And so, we still think there's a huge, huge opportunity here.
So, in terms of industry growth, and when we talked the other day, you talked about like the millennial mindset of like not having a real physical address and sort of like their mail should just be where they are. What does that look like over time, do you think?
Well, I know my experience when I was in my 20s and early 30s, I moved a lot.
Yeah.
I moved quite a bit, and it was a pain sort of resubmitting and changing my address to the USPS every time, but a necessary evil. So as we start to get a good foothold into the college and university space, we see our hope is that students, as they get out into the, quote, real world, that they start to see a digital mailbox as a way to have one single address for their life, right? Now, that's the CEO dreamer,
right?
Pie in the sky application. I get that, right? But I don't think it's too far-fetched. Just like we have a cell phone for life, why not have an address for life and never have to deal with it for the important stuff, right?
Totally. I think it makes complete sense. I don't know who would say that's a bad idea. So in the college and university workflow, how does that work? Are you replacing a mailroom, or is the mailroom using your platform to process the mail? What does that look like?
Yeah, so no, we're an add-on enhanced service into a mail, what we call a mail center operation, whatever that may be.
Yep.
For college and university, it could be students studying abroad, professors on leave, mail in the summer or when there's time off.
Yep.
It's an enhanced service. In your specific industry, every location has, or I read your industry survey, and I don't know, something like 90% of locations have a virtual office service.
90% of serviced offices do. The co-working penetration is much lower, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a huge, huge opportunity there. But, and so out of those 90%, many of them never show up to that office. So this is a perfect service for them. Also, there are clients who do physically show up and work in that space, but they travel a lot, right? Yep. So it's I just know for me, even I had a P.O. box that was around the corner from me, and it was a pain to go there and open the box and see nothing in there that was important.
Yep.
Enormous time waster.
So yours is an app, so people can open it on their phone, or does it work via email?
Well, it's a desktop and app version, but most of our renters, we call them, our base, is using the app, right? Yep. You get an alert, you've got some mail, you click on the app, you can see the front of the envelope, and then you decide what you want to do with that piece of mail. Shred it, recycle it, open and scan the contents, or forward it. I mean, it's not brain surgery, it's mail.
No, but right, to your point, it's like, right, who wants to even go around the corner? It just seems silly, like just a total waste of time when you can get it on your phone. And I think sort of the digital native population, it will make no sense for them to deal with a lot of paper mail.
Yeah, it's right. And I, when people ask me what I do when I'm, you know, out and about, and I say, well, let me show you. And I show them on the phone and they're like, well, that's, I mean, if they ever had a virtual address, they're like, I want that now. How do right. I get operator right. to use that? Because it's such a convenience. And then it's an area that I know I was dissatisfied with some of the operators where I had virtual addresses. It's this, I get it. It's sort of this currently thought of as sort of this back office thing that most operators don't really pay attention to. They think, oh man, it's going to be so much work. But there's such a high possibility of dissatisfaction mm-hmm. from a client over mail than many other things, I believe, right? And there's a way to get a big win and a differentiator by offering mail digitally. There's definitely a cool factor to being able to view and manage your mail on your phone. I certainly think it's cool. Maybe I'm nerdy, but I think it's cool and valuable.
Yeah, so, I mean, good segue into, let's talk about the opportunities for shared workspaces in terms of digital mail, like the revenue stream overall from offering a mail service. I think to your point, and I did not, my report is sitting in my backpack in the other room. I have that report with me at all times, but and I'm not going to pull it up and look for it. But it is, I mean, service, generally the insight from the report is serviced offices, which are, you know, generally more like an executive suite, a business center, they look at virtual mail or a virtual office offering as a really great additional revenue stream. And many of them will pay their rent with that revenue stream. I mean, they do, you know, it takes time to build, but they will leverage that really nicely. So yeah, I think it was in the high 90% of respondents to our survey offer that in the serviced office segment. And then the co-working spaces were lower, closer to 70, I think. And I think the average revenue for co-working spaces is a heck of a lot lower than serviced offices. So I think there's some opportunity to kind of understand what that looks like. And to your point, like, think of it as less of a back office. Like, there's some technology that can be interesting and sort of a cool factor to that may be more compelling for that segment. So yeah, kind of, I'd love to hear sort of your experience in the space and where you think the opportunities are and how folks should be thinking about that.
Okay, let me try to, an overused podcast term, unpack that.
Yeah, it totally okay. is, but yes, go ahead. I know I listened to one guy, he says unpack that like six times an episode. I'm like, don't ever use that term.
I know. Like,
but we will. Yes, I just asked a pile of questions all at once, yes. So you may unpack.
It's actually not bad, but just a little annoying. So my belief is that there's a change that's coming that I think is somewhat driven by us and others in the digital mailbox space, which is people, I think most people just want to have an address, right? They don't need all the bundled services, first off, and they just want an address so they can receive mail somewhere other than their location, right? So there's some level of, I think, pricing pressure that's going to come in your industry, and that could be a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
But I certainly see it with our customer base. We now have 250 locations using our service. Out of that, there's about 75 co-work service office companies using the service as well. And they're all growing revenue from the service. And I think the revenue opportunity is significant, right? And they're, you know, in year one, they're getting in the sort of five digits, and there's the potential to grow that, you know, north of 50,000 plus or more a month, right? And we're in, you know, to use another overused term, maybe the second inning of digital mailboxes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's maybe a late 90s term, aging.
Dating yourself.
Showing my age here. Right. We're in the really early days of this. And so we're finding that we have new co-work operators. They seem to be the ones jumping in this more quickly because they're like, wow, this is a great way for me to differentiate myself from my competition. Mm-hmm. It's a way to grow revenue. It's a way to have value-added services, because not only is that monthly recurring piece valuable, but there's the ancillary services generate revenue as well. Open and scanning services, you can charge, you know, whatever you like per page. Forwarding of the mail, there's a fee for that. Shredding, you can even charge for if you want. So yeah, I see it, I believe, and I hear this from some industry leaders in your space have been around for decades, who say this is something that is going to have to be in the service offering. Everyone's going to have it in the service offering eventually. And I know I'm optimistic. I need to be, because I'm the CEO and co-founder. Right. But I really I see that happening. And in the day that one of the 800 pound gorillas in your space offer it, then everyone's going to have to roll it out. So yeah, I think now's it. Now's a good time to start dipping your toe into the space.
Yeah, and I would guess you probably have some data on this, but the stickiness of a digital mailbox customer, I mean, could be eternal because they have no reason to cancel because they don't need to ever be physically there. I mean, you could, right, as long as you have the location open and the address, then you can provide that service forever and you have someone's credit card and it's just a recurring fee. And generally, nobody's going to cancel that if they have mail coming to that place. And especially kind of if your vision of, you know, the college age kid getting a digital mailbox and seeing it as a way to just like totally remove the hassle of changing their address when they move. I mean, they just never cancel.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing, you know, we've been in business long enough. We have a big enough customer base that, you know, we can count on the data and yeah, it's super sticky, very low churn rate.
Yeah.
And a lot of usage, right? And a fair amount of folks are requesting the ancillary services like open and scan and forwarding. So yeah, we're, you know, as I said, getting to our fourth year and we're really, really, really pleased with the data that's coming in. And our operating partners are pleased with it, right? We're first and foremost a software company, right? And on top of that, we've built a lead gen platform to help generate customers for our operating partners. But yeah, that's data that we share with our operating partners. And we want to, you know, if we can help our operating partners grow business, we grow business because we have a subscription-based or per seat model. Yep. So yeah, super sticky.
Yeah, and the stickiness piece is really valuable. So I think, you know, some new operators sort of get stuck on it does take some time to build the business. But if the stickiness is there and then it's just incremental, you keep building and building and building. And all of a sudden, 3 years, 5 years, you have this huge base of customers that, you know, has added up over time. Unlike the physical operation where you just have constant turnover. I mean, the average, we'd set data in the report around the average tenure. I mean, you know, for offices and dedicated desks, you're talking, you know, 22 months, but for coworking, it's less than that. So you're always looking for new seats just to maintain, you know, a fixed level of income, not to grow it, which you're doing with this revenue stream, which I think is really important.
I agree. And we see it, you know, we see it in the data. We see it in the data and there's continuing to be more and more interest from the prospective client base, right? Or like, oh, wow, I can actually, you know, get an address in a remote city and see my mail right away, you know, within one business day of what's there. Yeah, it's helping. It's definitely helping growing. I'd like to touch on one point that you're probably going to get to, but I want to make sure we don't forget is the operational, like what's required operationally to do this.
I think that's a great one because I think sometimes there's a perception that if I talk to an operator who's not doing it, they say, you know, my manager's already really busy. It's one more thing that I have to do. I don't get how to get started and I'm worried about the time it'll take. So yeah, I'd love for you to kind of go through your perspective on that.
Yeah. An anecdote. Marcel and I came up with this idea. I went and cold called, you know, 40 operators in LA before we did anything and said, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. What do you think? And the pushback from nearly all of them was, this is going to be a lot of work. I'm busy. You know, what's this going to do for me? But we did get a handful. I got a handful of folks that said, yeah, let's give it a try. I'll be a beta for you. So then our first trade show, it's pretty depressing, actually. Actually, our first trade show was in the P.O. Box space. Actually, I don't like it when you say it's the MBC, Mail and Business Center space. That's how they like to be referred to, Stan. But it was at, you know, LAX at one of the hotels there. And, I mean, we had operator after operator say, we had two of them say, that's a terrible idea. You should stop now. But again, we had a couple that said, hey, I think this has merit. I think this is cool. I'm willing to jump on board. So fast forward a couple of years, we have, you know, 250 operators on the platform and we're close to double digits each week now of new signups. So that's a long way to say that the operational piece is minimum. We make it very easy operationally to be able to scan the mail. You can use an existing scanner or our app to upload the mail and the value of the revenue, the new revenue generated versus the operational expense, which is, I mean, it's there all day long. And the proof is we've never had an operator cancel and they all want more business, every one of them.
Right.
And then we have a couple of serviced office clients that have rolled this offering out to their existing customer base and all their VOs. So both physical and VOs. And what they found is the operational expense is a wash. It takes them, you know, one for example, has a couple hundred renters, we call them on the platform. It takes them Between 30 and 45 minutes a day to manage that whole base.
Yep, right.
Not a big deal. And they're already, most operators are doing that already, but in sort of dribs and drabs. There's the sorting of the mail, but then there's the phone calls, there's the attach the mail to emails because this customer is overseas and they want to see what's in there. Yeah, so our experience is that it's a non-issue and it's actually a way to grow business.
Right. And I always say, worst case, you have so much of this business that you hire someone to come in for a couple hours a day at $15 an hour and deal with all the mail. Mm. I mean, worst case, right? That's a great worst case problem to have. It's not hard.
Yep. That's what I believe. And we see it. We see it in our operators and in the growth of the business. But I also understand human nature. I believe that there's the days coming soon that if you don't offer this in your bag of tricks in your industry, very soon you're going to lose business because someone else is going to be able to offer it.
Yep. So for folks that are already running a mail program through other lead gen partners, how do you fit into that? Can they use you as well? How, you know, if they have other customers through other sources, can they use your platform for those? How does that work?
Yes. So the answer is for sure. We have many, I'd say 95% of our operating partners who are using our platform are also on our website because we're online marketing guys. And that's our background. And yeah, so we can generate customers for you. Today we specifically offer digital mailboxes only, right? So that's what we're marketing, a digital mailbox service or address only service versus some of the other companies who are offering a virtual office and things like live receptionists and phone services.
Conference room time and
that whole piece. So another overused term, disruption, right? So there's some disruption that's happening. I was just talking to someone in that specific industry who's generating, leads and customers for your industry. And they've had to change their marketing, right, to really focus on the value-added services on top of the address only, right? There's some level of cannibalization. Folks who are looking for an address and they say, wow, I can get a San Francisco address for $90 from one company, or I can get it for $35 from another or $9 from another. Whoa, what's the difference there?
Yep.
Right? And so the difference is for that $90, maybe there's additional services on top of that, like a certain number of conference room hours.
Yep.
It's in a tower in San Francisco, in a Class A building versus the $9.99 service, which is, in a strip mall next to a pizza joint.
Right.
Right. So there's it's sort of forcing, and again, we're in the early days here, but it's forcing folks to market their services in a different way. And
like a real segmentation of the market. So people.
That's right. So for better or for worse, that's what's happening. And I think that's only going to get bigger. We have an operator in one of our major cities in your industry who he's gotten very aggressive with his virtual address service only at a significant discount. We're talking, $30 a month, but for a very limited amount of mail. And there's no other services on top of that. So it's a real stripped down service with 5 pieces a month. And he's crushing it. He's really, really crushing it. He said, I'm going to do this today. I'm going to go for it now because it's going to happen anyway. And I want to get
run into it. Yep.
I mean, he's turned up several hundred in just the last few months. So,
is he doing his own lead gen on top of being on your website?
Well, I think he does a little bit, but it's mostly on our site.
Okay. Good for him. So just to jump into real quick, the practical sort of aspects of getting into this, I think that's another sort of fear that holds people back from getting started is, what do they need to do to be qualified to handle mail?
Good point. So you need to be a CMRA. We require that. So that stands for a commercial mail receiving agent. And that's a requirement by the USPS. And I've spoken to actually a scary amount of operators in your industry that are not CMRAs and they're managing people's mail who are not physically located there.
Yep.
And that opens up the risk of having your mail no longer delivered to your location by the USPS. And that's real. I've heard of that happening. The one of the issues is it's sort of, region by region, how the postmaster manages CMRAs, but it's certainly a risk if you're not a CMRA. I highly recommend becoming a CMRA. It doesn't cost anything. There's a one form. It's the form, if you Google form 1583A, USPS, it'll pop up, submit it. You're going to come by and check out your location and approve you. It's that easy. I can tell you the USPS is going through a process right now of revisiting the rules and regs around being a CMRA and postal mail. They haven't been updated in 15 or 20 years. If you sign up for a virtual office or virtual address, you need to submit a form 1583 if you're the client or renter, have that document notarized, and provide two forms of government-issued IDs. And that needs to be submitted to the USPS. Or certainly, it's on file, and you have to send a report to the USPS quarterly. And it's, again, it's sort of region by region how diligently they check that. But the USPS realizes that process is antiquated. You know, notary services, physical notary services are sort of very 1970s. There's tons of identity verification tools out there that the federal government is using. But so long story short, if you have any virtual customers, you're not a CMRA, do it right away. And then, you know, be aware that there are rule changes coming up that'll be out by this fall. So I'm actually been pulled into that conversation with the USPS as a subject matter expert, and they're trying to get their first draft done in August. And they're being very thoughtful about it. We love working with the USPS. But changes are coming, and if anyone wants to dig into that further, certainly can reach out to me and I'll let them everything I know about it.
Yeah, and we'll include links in the show notes to those forms that you mentioned, a little bit more info about that. But the bottom line is, do it. Don't be afraid. It's not that hard, but follow the rules and get set up.
Yeah. Exactly. You run a pretty big risk if you don't.
Yeah. So, I mean, just before we go, thank you for sharing all your sort of thoughts on the industry and sort of where it's going and the digital piece versus virtual memberships. Kind of key, just to wrap up, you know, quick key differentiation of your platform, and if people want to learn more, what's the best way to get in touch for a demo?
Okay, thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. So first off, we're a software company. That's our primary focus. Software is built in the US right here in LA. So we react very quickly to feedback from our client and partner base. And we're the only private label platform. So you can continue to promote your brand. We have the ability to integrate into your existing order flow through, you know, the typical ways you do that through via, you know, APIs and iframing. We're also the only global platform. So we have operating partners in the UK, Asia, Africa, and we're getting a lot of interest overseas, which is very cool. And then we just make it easy. We've got simple flat rate pricing. There's no expense to get started. There's no minimums. That's how we've been able to grow this, where it's risk-free. You can get up and running in 20 minutes. We can get you on our website and start generating customers for you. And so what happens is that you start to get an idea of the operational flow.
Yep.
As I'd love to say you're going to get 100 customers the first month, but that's unlikely. But you get a handful of customers, and this is exactly what's happened. Folks are like, yeah, this actually isn't that much work. It's no more work than is happening today, and I want more customers. And next thing you know, you have 50, 100, 200. 200 more virtual clients than you did in the past. So if you want to get in touch with us, visit our site, anytimemailbox.com. There's a section on that site, Become a Partner, and there's more details in there. And, you know, we'd love to hear from you. As Jamie said, we are going to be out in Miami in September. So if you're attending the event, come by and say hi to us. We'll give you a demo.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it. And definitely looking forward to seeing you in Miami in September.
Great, Jamie. I look forward to seeing you in person. And thanks again for inviting me onto your podcast.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.